Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's time for our weekly conversation with Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox radio network. Here he is from another country up in Toronto, Canada. Manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Terrific. Good. It's great down here. It's terrific in this country.
got lots of...
Where are the fans, by the way, up in Toronto? Remember when they used to pack that place and they had 4 million people? Where the hell did they all go?
there was a big game yesterday around here, so I don't know. Probably most of them that were there.
Biggest controversy they had this week was Vlad Guerrero Jr. doesn't play on Monday on Victoria Day, and people are up in arms. That's unbelievable. All right, let's start with E-Rod. Things were going well here a couple games ago. Left-handed hitting again does him in. You make a trip out there in the fourth inning. I know you probably want to skirt around the tipping pitches, but something was wrong, right?
Yeah, something I noticed, and you just have to make sure you correct it right away. You know, it's something that sometimes it pops, you know, here and there. We've been working hard the last two years to avoid stuff like that. And just a quick reminder of, you know, hey, make sure, you know, we stay not in the same page, but do the things that you have to do to get people out.
Yeah, because it looked like, I don't know, at first you feel like, oh, man, just going out there, right? There's frustration. It looked like he kind of lost it and leaving some change-ups up. I want to go back to that game last week against Colorado because I was doing that game. It was interesting because he kind of got out of the jam with the sack fly, but then he walks McMahon, the lefty. Fourth inning, you're up 5-2, and you get the bullpen up. And it seemed like the patience maybe with him in that game. Were you frustrated over that two-out walk to McMahon?
When was it? Last week?
Yeah, his last start.
I think
Colorado.
So. I mean, I got good memory, man. I guess I was. It's one of those that, you know, with him, you know what you get, you know, and stuff is great, but, you know, it gets to, this, you know, in certain spots that we need to get people out. And, you know, I think he was hitting seventh or eighth, I want to say.
Yeah.
In that game. So, you know who's coming up, you know, in two or three batters, and you got to try to win ball games, you know. And I think at that point we were in a good place as far as the bullpen, if not mistaken. If not, I'm making this up, Lou, right now. You put me in the spot right here, but it's one of
good.
Those that I know. I can do
one.
That too.
How about this one? What is it that you see that's making him less effective against lefties? Is it two-seamer in? Is it just location? What is it?
I think there's. You know, he's going with the two-seamer in and throwing the changeup in. And I think velocity-wise, it's very similar. You know, like, I think his two-seamer, when he goes in, is 90, and the changeup sometimes is 87, 88. So the action is kind of like the same. So if a lefty is looking hard inside, you know, low and in, and you throw a changeup, you're going to put him on time. And then he's going to get the head out. And it's happened with Smith from Baltimore at home. Early in the season, it happened yesterday with Teles, although that changeup, it wasn't a good one. You know, it was actually up in the zone. So we have to, you know, change eye levels, use the fastball up and in, use the fastball up and away. As you know, his slider, he's not a great pitch. It's actually his third pitch. So he has to be careful using that one. And I think he needs to attack them a little bit different. You know, I think we're going to the same spot over and over again, and then hitters are making adjustments. For all the hits or extra base hits that he's given up against lefties, it's been only one the other way, and it was D. Gordon in the first game of the season. It was a jam shot up with third baseman for a hit. Maybe there's another one there, but there's not a lot of damage going the other way. So we'll see how we work out. We'll talk about it, and we have to make adjustments.
All right, a two-parter for me. Because I saw this Marcus Stroman stuff is kind of interesting to me. And you were quoted saying, no, he competes a certain way and people don't like it. Explain that part. Like, what is it? How does he compete? What does he do that people don't like it? Is he just a jerk?
I mean, it's a Stro show. It's a Stro show, you know. He's on the mound and he has his antics and he gets under people's skins, and all of a sudden he pitches six innings, you know. I was with the Astros, and people from the dugout were screaming at him. I'm with the Red Sox, and people from the dugout screaming at him. It is part of it, you know. And I said he competes a certain way. Some people like it, and some people don't. But as you guys know, in the media, there's always somebody writing the headline, and those are the ones that get you in trouble. So, you know, thank you again to the guy that wrote the headline, and now there's something going on here in Toronto.
No, it's actually, I like it. I wish there would be more chippiness in baseball.
More people pissed
off. But it was
off.
Funny because it's funny.
It wasn't even about the quick pitch, you know, like people do that a lot. Nate Eovaldi, he quick pitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and he throws 99, 100. So I wasn't actually complaining about the quick pitch, and I was actually telling the umpire because Stroman goes to Chavis and he talks to him, and then somebody from the dugout screams at Stroman, and Alan Porter right away jumps on our guy. I was actually screaming at the umpire, but you know, if people want to feel like I was screaming at Stroman and that's a story, so be it. You know, I don't have anything against the kid. I think he even tweeted that I'm still mad that he didn't pitch for Team Puerto Rico in the WBC.
Yeah,
dude, I had the best time in my life with that team, and he wasn't part of it. That was probably my highlight of my career.
Wait.
And he pitched six innings, and he did an outstanding job for Team USA in the finals, and I had a blast with the team that we had. So, I remember when he decided to pitch for Team USA, he didn't call me. Actually, Nolan Arenado called me to tell me that he wasn't going to play for us. Stroman announced it at David's tournament in Dominican Republic. The next day, I call him. I say, Marcus, man, I saw your decision. I respect it. Blah, you know, like, hey, I wish you luck. And he goes like, hey, Alex, you know, let's get together. Let's do something for Puerto Rico. His mom is Puerto Rican. So let's do something Puerto Rico. No hard feelings. I'm like, no hard feelings. So, you know, he still thinks I'm mad. I'm not actually mad. You know, like, what are we going to do? You know, he had a choice, and he pitched for the gold medal team. You know, no big deal.
Hey, so, you know, you just created headlines, right? You understand that, right?
Say what?
You just created another headline. You get that, right?
No, I mean, I've just been honest. You know, okay. It's not a big deal. You know, I don't have anything against a kid, man. He's been in the big leagues for, what, 3-4 years. He has a ERA on the 3. He competes, you know. And, you know, I still remember when he came back from the ACL and he pitched in the playoffs. You know, and that was fun to watch. What was it? When Bautista hit the home run, he was part of that team, you know. He was amazing. I have nothing against this kid.
No, I was going to say that if you said this is a big issue up in Canada?
No.
Who cares about the Canadians? Really? What do we care?
No, don't say that.
Are they our allies in something? I don't know.
It might be a problem. All right, so I'm looking at the schedule. Looking at the schedule, and you don't get days off for a long time, all right? On top of that, you're facing the teams that are vying for the top spots right now in the American League. So you get Houston, you get Cleveland, you get New York, you get Tampa Bay, and then you get Minnesota after that. How much are you going to learn about your team with no days off, toughest competition in the league? What do you learn in the next 30 days?
That we're still a good team, man. I think, you know, we've been very consistent the last 3 weeks of the season. We're getting healthy. You saw what David did 2 days ago. I think offensively we still – you know, we show flashes of who we are, but we're still a little bit inconsistent. But, you know, we had a good weekend. I mean, not a great weekend against Houston. Obviously, we lost 2-3. But I think we put good at-bats. We weren't able to finish innings, and that's been the biggest problem lately when we lose games. You know, we got bases loaded, no outs, and we don't score. But we're in a good spot. I think our team is good. The bullpen is doing an outstanding job, you know, when we have the lead. So we're in a good place.
So right now, like I've talked about before, you still have that 8-man bullpen, and I'm a firm believer of, say, confidence innings. And I think the other day, a couple of days ago, Brazier got one, right? Came in there and looked a little bit better. But when you try to give a confidence inning to a guy like Tyler Thornburg, then does that make it hard to justify keeping 8 out there? Because every time he comes in, no matter what the score, down 10, up 8, whatever it is, it's like he just is traffic, it's tough. He just doesn't look like he's effective out there at all.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knows that we have to make decisions. You know, we got certain guys that are playing in the minor leagues right now, rehab assignments, and you know, they're going to get healthy, and we're going to have to make tough decisions. You know, and it's a matter of performing at this level. And right now, you know, there's certain guys that they can do better, and we know that. You know, we see the stuff with Tyler. We've been talking about it the whole time since we've been training. You see 94, 95, the breaking ball. but he hasn't been able to finish hitters off. He's up 1-2, 0-2, and either he hangs a breaking ball or he doesn't spot the fastball, or it's the other way around. So, you know, there's some tough decisions coming up. Everybody knows it. So, you know, there are certain guys that they need to perform, and that's the nature of this business. That's the nature of the game, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, speaking of performing, Andrew Benintendi is having a tough time leading off, especially in that first inning, right? Is there any point in time where you sit there and say, all right, I'm going back to Mookie leading off, kind of like what happened last year?
You see what Mookie's hitting in the first inning?
But what about Benintendi?
Not good either. Yeah, they're both the same, I think. Pretty close to it.
Preston, you got to be ready when you come with those with me, brother.
I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Baseball guy, but is that
I'm
something?
Just playing with
you, brother. Well, no, well, I'm like Stroman now. Like, what are you mad about? Lou gave me that question.
Well,
I'll ask you this way. This is a plan that you had in the off season. At what point do you look at it and say, yeah, it's maybe not in our best interest to do it this way anymore?
I mean, it all depends how you see it. You know, Mookie's getting more at-bats with men on throughout the game. Actually, Andrew's getting at-bats with men on. The only thing is that we haven't been able to put big innings together in the first inning, something that we did last year. But you got to trust a player. You know, actually today he was out there with us hitting early. You know, he doesn't feel right with his swing. It seems like he's pulling off, hitting stuff off the end of the bat. The strikeouts, obviously, that's something that is not part of his game, and everybody knows it. And, you know, the way we see it, it's just, you know, he's going through a stretch. He's not, you know, swinging the bat the way he's capable of. So this is a guy we trust, and I think, you know, when he swings the bat okay or well, you know, he produces, and we're going to trust him.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. The question was submitted by Wayne Caliento. What has been your hardest decision to make? You okay? You all right? You all right? I don't want to lose you here. What has been your hardest decision to make so far this season, other than renewing this segment on the radio?
No, honestly, it was taking Chris out of the that game against Colorado. You know, you put everything in perspective, and obviously there's a historic thing, but at the same time, you got to take care of the guy. And although it looked easy because of the score, 3-2, but at the, you know, inside, you're like, man, you know, he has a shot to do something historic, but, you know, we got to take care of the guy. So, you know, it's one of those that you put everything in perspective, and you make the right decision for the benefit of the player, obviously, with his health. And obviously the team.
Yeah, but look at it this way. You had a guy who sat there and praised the hell out of you, you know, respect you so much. Yeah.
Actually, if you see it, was it Lou that mentioned this? Like, well, if he strikes out 20, he's part of a club.
Yep.
You know, there's other three guys. And now he's the only pitcher in the history of the game to strike out 17, 7 innings. So he has his own club. You know, he's by himself now. He's very, you know, he made history.
Oh, you're making it up right now. That's what you're doing. Trying to ease out of it.
I'm off today, boys. I'm sorry. Yes.
Let me tell you something. I don't think Marcus Stroman would have taken it as lightly as sales.
Real quick, last one. Have you made a decision on tomorrow yet? To starter?
Not yet. All depends how he goes today. Yeah. Okay. But the options are Hector and Weber.
All right.
All depends how we do it today.
All right, there's your Cumberland Farms question of the week. It's brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question, and we'll give it to Alex coming up each and every one of these Wednesdays. Have a good one up there in Toronto. See you, Alex.
We'll be better next week.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.